Well, during this time, we usually go through topics and questions that you have and that you put in the offering plate. And we've been going through one in particular, dealing with why do basically good things happen or bad things happen to good people. And so the simple answer to that question is they don't. Because there's none good. None. None righteous, no, not one. And we understand that we have a good God. In fact, Scripture tells us in James that he is light, and there is no variance or shadow of shifting with this light, with his glory. In other words, there's no shadows in his goodness. He's all good. God is good, and he does good. We also know that a dichotomous relationship happens in the fact that there is a power or force that is a prince of the power of this air. We have given Satan the title deed to the earth. We did that in the garden. Once we submitted to him, because God had given us the title deed, he said, go, he says, rule and multiply. And we go, well, we'll just give the title deed over. We'll submit to the serpent. And so we did. People wonder, why are things a chaotic display of happenings on this earth today? And I would say, well, because you gave it over to the destructive one. Nevertheless, God is still sovereign over him and is using our bad decisions to bring good to us. This demonstrates the great power of God, and that in spite of man's evil, in spite of the evil wishes of men, in spite of the fact that man would continually choose the wrong and make the wrong choice, God is still working good in our lives. And that demonstrates his goodness. I know people like to blame every difficult and horrible thing upon God, but the fact of the matter is we chose it and we wished it. You know, we had a choice to have evil come in our lives, and we wanted it. And it was in that choice that we now are reaping many of the sad and difficult things of our lives. Nevertheless, we understand that God begins to use evil in our life, our difficulty, our calamity, our hardship, or pain and suffering for good. And one of the things that he does clearly is he begins to humble our hearts. We know, according to Scripture, that if we were not humbled, we would not see the kingdom of God. So difficulty, pain, suffering, probably we just talked about recently, the prodigal son. And the prodigal son is a good example of somebody who had everything, and it just brought arrogance and hostility towards his father. Then finally takes his things and then squanders them, thus the word prodigal, squanders them on all kinds of things, and finds himself in great difficulty and great pain and great suffering, even in starvation. And God begins to use this in his life to what? Humble him. To where he comes back to his father and he cries out, well, it was better here than it was eating with the pigs. And so God begins to move in his life through that. We understand that God uses these things to humble, heal, and even unite us in our relationships. One of the great pictures of that in the Old Testament is the story of Joseph, where his brothers had sold him into slavery. Now, that's an evil, hostile, hurtful thing to do. Nevertheless, we know that according to the story, that there was hostilities that were undercurrent all along. What God did through this evil act was he ultimately brought the family back together, in that he elevated Joseph, caused him to be in a position of forgiveness. And as Joseph will say at the end, you meant this for evil. God has turned it into good. And that's what God does. He takes our bad choices and our evil and the evil things in life, and he brings them to unite. He brings them to heal. He brings them to work things that we could never do under the guise of just having everything we want. So we also understand that through evil, God prepares and strengthens and changes. Bottom line is, the destructiveness and the hurt and the pain and the sorrow is even what God used to rescue us. There's an interesting passage in Hebrews chapter 2, and if I could just read this one verse to you, it reads this way in verse 10. It was fitting for him, that is for Jesus, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. Did you catch that last part? It was fitting for him, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation. How? Through sufferings. One of the things that pain and sorrow and suffering and difficulty does is it demonstrates love. And it is the marvelous backdrop of love, because as Jesus will say, greater love has no man than this, than one lay down his life for another. And the pain and the suffering that he went through for us demonstrated the glory. And so God used that to tell us just how much he loved us and to perfect us. The writer of Hebrews will go on in the text and say, well, if his father now is our father, how do you think he'll perfect you? And the answer is pretty clear. God will perfect us through sufferings. James tells us, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. So what is he doing? He's perfecting many sons to glory through suffering. So God in his grace is using these difficulties. And a good example of this, and I just will leave you with this passage in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, Jesus is talking to Peter, who at this stage was pretty braggadocious and thought that he could rescue the Messiah, which is a little presumptuous, I would think. Luke chapter 22, Jesus turns to Simon and he says this in verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. You say, well, why would God allow Satan to sift anybody? He's bringing us to perfection. What was getting in the way of Peter? His arrogance. He thought he could be Savior. He thought he could rescue. Oh, he had a desire to do the right thing, but he had all the wrong answers. And it was pride getting in the way. God will use the difficulties that are now pressed on him by Satan to humble his heart. The next phrase reads this way. But Jesus turns and he says, but I have prayed for you. Now watch what he says. That your faith may not fail. Now I want you to read what is not there. What is not there is that you may not fail. That's not what he prays. That's not there, is it? He doesn't say, I have prayed for you, that you may not fail. No. He prays that his faith may not fail. The point is that our failing is probably one of the best things that could ever happen to us, because it's us realizing that we need a Savior. And it's us realizing that we are not righteous. So God will use the difficulties of life to bring us to a point of complete surrender and saying, I need help. And God says, see, this evil has brought you to me. And God in his grace then rescues us. I have prayed that your faith may not fail, and you, once you have turned again, this is the confidence, not that you might, but when you do, strengthen your brothers. You know, what's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is very clear, that the comfort that we're able to comfort others is that which we realize that God alone has taken us and rescued us. If we haven't come to that point of realizing that, we can't be a comfort to anybody else. If we think that we can go through a difficult situation and we have kind of worked our way out and kind of figured it out, and then we tell them, hey, this is what you do, we're just messing them up. But if we come to a point where we're beside ourselves, or as Paul literally says in that text, I came to where I had the sentence of death within myself, that I might not trust myself, but in God who raises from the dead. An evil that is so oppressive, that is far more powerful than me, Satan is far more powerful than us, oppresses us to the point where we realize we're beyond our strength. We have to go in the realm of his strength. And then we call unto him, and God in his grace uses that difficulty, those problems, those sorrows in our life to draw us to him. God is bringing many sons to glory, and scripture tells us he loses not one. God is in control, and we're so thankful for that. Father, we want to give you praise for your sovereignty in all things, and even in the evil and the destructiveness in this world, You are bringing good. You are causing all things to work together for good. To those that will turn to you and cry upon you and walk according to your purpose, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.